May we be a shining light to the nations, a shining light to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world sees the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us.
A very good day to you, and thank you for listening to Hope for the Nations. I pray this message will touch your heart and draw you into a place where you can enjoy this experience of missions with us. Isn't it good to praise the Lord? Isn't it good to give thanks for who He is and what God is doing among the nations? In everything we do and say, everywhere we go, and at every time of day, we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Whether we're at home, whether we're at school, at work, on the sports field, or even driving down the road, the way each of us lives, thinks, works, speaks, and socializes, it presents a picture of what it is to be a Jesus follower. Our living example can invite conversations, it can open doors, and it can demonstrate what life is like when it is centered on God's love. Operation Mobilization is a mission organization that inspires, equips, and sends out missionaries into the nations. We want every person to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ at least once in their lives. If you want to be part of this movement, you can contact om.org and get more information. Today we will be listening to a powerful message from George Verwer. He is the founder of Operation Mobilization, which is over 60 years old. They have over 6,000 missionaries working in various fields. And in all of this, there are lots of challenges. And we need to pray for the work of God to continue in the midst of the mess they face. God is at work, and we want to be a part of what God is doing. As humans, we fail, but God is faithful. Let's listen to George Verwer as he shares.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 12. We're going to look at a number of scriptures that are burning on my heart, but we'll start with Acts, chapter 12. Acts, chapter 12, we have Peter in prison. You remember that? I'm sure you've read it many times. Peter was in prison. Verse 5. This is a modern translation. So Peter was kept in jail, but the church prayed earnestly to God for him. That night when Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. Other soldiers were guarding the door of the jail. This is an impossible situation, right? Suddenly an angel of the Lord stood there. A light shined in the cell. The angel struck Peter on the side, woke him up. "Hurry, get up." And the angel said, "The chains fell off Peter's hand." The angel told him, "Get dressed, put on your sandals." Peter did. The angel said, "Put on your coat and follow me." And Peter followed him. A great jailbreak organized by the living God. Why and how did it happen? We've already seen that. God's people, the church, was praying without ceasing. And he goes to the house. Verse 12, look at it. When he considered this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Many people were gathered there praying. The prayer meeting. The prayer gathering. It's biblical. And yet a high percentage of our churches now in America and Canada, in England, where I live, hardly have a prayer meeting. If they have one, hardly anyone's there. I hope your church, I hope you are the exception. It's easy to talk about prayer. We got a new book about prayer almost every month. But to actually get people praying, get people on their face, seeking God's face, praying for revival, praying against the subtle attacks of the enemy is one of the greatest challenges. And by God's grace, when I was a teenager and experienced deep reality in Christ, seeking His face in days of prayer, in nights of prayer, He burned into my life this habit. Billy Graham says, life, my spiritual father, life is filled with habits. And if you're not willing to change your habits, you'll never walk with God. It'll just be meetings and talk and conferences and books and conventions. And by God's grace, through the influence of godly people and His Holy Spirit, I started this practice of every day and then every week getting involved in prayer meetings, sometimes 3 or 4 hours long, sometimes only 20 minutes. And I believe it's one of the reasons, by God's grace, I've lived in personal reality and revival every single day since my conversion in a Billy Graham meeting. And the devil has got a lot of propaganda out, and one of his biggest propaganda trips is everybody has to backslide. Everybody has to lose their first love. That's why we need revival, right? Because so many are backslidden. So many have lost their first love. Even people who were once in great movements of the Holy Spirit and great revival movements, today they're in the desert. They lost their first love. I meet them everywhere in the world. I've had 150,000 people stand up in my meetings or come forward repenting because they were in the wilderness. Even Christian leaders, even evangelists and Bible teachers. But I want to share with you what you probably already know. There's another way. You believe on Jesus. You put your hands on the plow. You let His love fill your heart. You let the power of the Holy Spirit fill your heart. And you never, no matter what, you never, never turn back. If I had preached this, and I did as a teenager, it wouldn't meet much. When I preached it in my 20s, people were still pretty skeptical. But here I am, praise God, a grandfather. But I just want to testify to the grace of God, to the reality of this book, to the reality of Jesus, that this needy person, and I'm still a needy person, His strength is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient. What's that all about? I want to just share every single day since that night, March 3rd, 1955, Madison Square Garden, I've known this reality, this power of His grace, of His Holy Spirit. One of the first things I ever preached on, I guess I was 17, was 2 Chronicles 7:14. I got it from a Billy Graham tract. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek His face, He will hear their prayer and He will heal their land. I used to be able to quote it perfectly. The memory's starting on a downhill run. But I know you know that great verse. And I hope you never lose your passion to pray for that kind of reality. Turn quickly to chapter 13. Chapter 13, we find a picture, one of the greatest pictures of the church. I hope it's a picture of your church. They were gathered together in prayer, fasting, and worship. Pick up the story at verse 2. They were all worshiping the Lord and fasting for a certain time. During this time, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the special work for which I have chosen them." So after they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them out. And one of the reasons I sense it's such a privilege to be with you and have tried to follow your great diversity of ministry in different parts of the world is because I don't believe we can ever separate global missions from personal revival and other kinds of revival. And we see these men experiencing a touch from God, a direct statement by the Holy Spirit. And then we see the Holy Spirit sending them out into missions. The human tendency is to put everything in boxes. Our seminaries, our theological colleges, they love to put everything in boxes. A lot of them don't, by the way, even have a revival box. But they often have a missions box. It's three doors down, turn left, there's the man in charge of missions. As if missions was a special category for a special group of people. When the Lord Jesus himself said, just before ascending into heaven, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And my great prayer is that there will always be a marriage of the great streams of truth from the Word of God. This great emphasis we have for revival, for repentance, for brokenness, for the cross, for seeking the face of God, together with sharing our faith, reaching out to the nations of the world. There are 40 nations. This is 2,000 years since the Lord gave us this task. There are 40 nations that have less than 0.1% of what we have in this country in terms of witness, in terms of even good churches. I know we got a lot of bad churches, a lot of dysfunctional churches. We've got probably a pastor every day in the United States falling into adultery from Maine to California. We don't want to get into all the bad news, but we also have a lot of churches that are still faithful to the Word of God and pastored by men of God and women of God who have been touched in revival, who have experienced the cross. They're not perfect. And yet, as we look out across this planet, 40 nations, with less than 0.1%. I won't give you the top 40. We don't have time. I'll just give you my top 10. North Korea, Tibet, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, including Socotra, where there's not a single known believer, almost no missionary, Tunisia, Libya, and Turkmenistan. There are 10 other nations trying to push into the top 10. They're so impossible. Somalia is one of them. The Maldives Islands is another. How can this be? When I was a baby Christian and God was moving in my life and I started to hear about the nations of the world, millions that have never heard of Jesus, places where the church did not even exist. I think I was 18 at the time. The next year I went to Mexico. God completely turned me upside down and inside out and caused me to recommit my life, firstly to Him, but also to the people of the world. Don't allow missions to be put in a separate box. Don't think, well, until we get everything sorted out here, until we get greater revival, we can't really do much about missions. If you are understanding that way, you are living in deception. That is not the way God's work. I've feasted on the Word of God and church history for 54 years. God's greatest work is often in the midst of a mess. Even after the Welsh revival, the mess came in. I've studied in depth the life of Evan Rogers, Jesse Penn Lewis, what happened at Keswick, the book War on the Saints, how Satan counterattacked that revival. Men fell back into drunkenness. Immorality invaded the churches. But in the midst of the mess, in the 100 years after the Welsh revival, thousands of workers went out into the harvest fields, bringing millions to Jesus. And revival spread to Brazil. It spread to Korea. It spread to many other parts of the world. Let's not be intimidated when there's a mess. And let me tell you, those of us praying for revival, when it comes, fasten your Holy Ghost seatbelt, because it will be more messy. It especially gets messy when people start getting saved. The reason it's so tidy in some churches is because nobody's been saved there for several months or even years. It's a mystery, isn't it? But if we don't believe this mess theology, we'll never understand God. I want to ask you, are you praying for the nations of the world? Do you have the heart of Jesus for the nations of the world? I believe probably I'm speaking to the choir, and you already pray for the nations, and you know what's going on in Yemen, and you're asking for missionaries to be strengthened. One of the ministries God has given me, and I'm unworthy, is to go around the world and preach this message of the cross and give away free copies of this book, literally now hundreds of thousands, to see discouraged, beaten down missionaries who haven't seen fruit. Sometimes their own marriages are about to break. To see them come back to the cross. To see them embrace Galatians 2:20, perhaps my favorite verse in the Word of God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And what a tremendous thing it is when revival hits a group of missionaries. When revival hits one of our ships where 350 people are living together. Pray that there may be continued revival. We always have some. We're growing cold. We have sometimes personality complexities. People in the midst of the heat and the hard work get discouraged. And one of the reasons I'm here is to bring this Macedonian call, that those of us in missions, I've been 49 years overseas without a furlough. We need your prayers. The enemy is increasing his efforts, especially with the chaos and the confusion concerning Islam. We have 800 people working among Muslims. Some of them are discouraged. Some of them have worked for years in countries where there's almost no fruit. We need to see, in a sense, the Holy Spirit tentacles of revival from our own hearts, from whatever small group you're meeting with and praying with. We need to see that spread out to these other parts of the world where there are many that have never even heard the gospel. My final passage of scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if we can just try to wind up by looking at this passage, which has been one of the most important passages in my life. It's when Paul is crying out to be set free from this thorn in the flesh. And Paul is praying that this thorn in the flesh somehow would go away. That's his desire. And as he prays, it doesn't go. Let me read this interesting modern translation that I've only been using for a few weeks. And verse 7, chapter 12. So that I would not become too proud of the wonderful things that were shown to me. Isn't this amazing? A painful physical problem was given to me. This problem was a messenger from Satan sent to beat me and keep me from being too proud. I begged the Lord 3 times. To take this problem away from me. But he said to me, my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. So I am very happy to brag about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can live in me. For this reason I am happy when I have weaknesses, insults, hard times, suffering, all kinds of troubles for Christ. Because when I am weak, then I am truly strong. His strength is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient. That's why as we pray, as we long for greater things, as we long for spiritual breakthroughs, we have to constantly go back to God's Word. You know, we're very involved in distributing books. But some of the books out there today, they're doing more harm than good. They're doing more harm than good. And so in the end, more than ever, in our generation, with so many books, so much confusion, so many voices, so many people telling us we have to reinterpret everything that's here. If you don't hear that going on, you're not reading much. That is a major thing in America today by some very gifted, godly people. But I will tell you, we need to be very careful when we start reinterpreting what's in this book. Not that there are not lessons to learn. Not that there are not changes to make on how we do things. That I believe the Bible is under assault in North America and it's spreading to Europe. And I want to be among those who stand firm. People especially are trying to tell us that we really can't believe anymore that everyone is lost. This is too narrow. This is bigotry. Surely God has different ways and we need to be more inclusive. We can't make people feel left out. And I would urge you to stand firm to the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If there's some great special second chance for those who are lost, I've not read about it here, so I really don't want to get involved. I might dream about it. It'll probably become a nightmare, so I don't think I'll do that either. This is God's word. Part of it is really rough. I'm sure many of you have as your favorite verse, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest after preaching to others, I become a reprobate. Praise God when there's a special outpouring. Praise God when there's a touch of revival, whether it's big or small, as we've seen in different parts of the world. But if that crisis is not followed by God's process of discipleship, commitment, the cross, discipline, yes, buffeting the body, bringing it into subjection, it will become one more abscess. And that's tearing my heart out across the world to meet men and women who once were in meetings like this, who were strong in God, and somehow the enemy got in, the marriage is broken, they're off track. We can put our hands on the plow and every day follow him in brokenness, in reality. Not in the absence of struggles and failures and doubt, yet sometimes sin, but in the midst of it, as we deal with it biblically, as we repent, as we walk in the light with one another and go back to the cross. And if a needy, struggling son of a Dutch atheist, my grandfather, atheist from New Jersey, with lots of struggles and problems and doubts, can walk in the power of Jesus every day, nobody has an excuse. And as long as God gives me breath, whether it's 80,000 in a stadium in Korea or 12 people in a home somewhere, I want to shout about Jesus, about his power, about his grace. And I pray that God will fill all of us in these days afresh with his Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit who invade our lives at the moment of conversion. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost their first love, anyone here in which the fire has grown down and lukewarmness has come in, that they would deal with that, and that, Lord, the nation and the nations of the world will feel the impact of what your Holy Spirit is doing here in these precious days. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That was a message from George Verver, the founder of Operation Mobilization. Missionaries are people just like you. We pray for people, we talk to people, we share God's love with people. We believe that you can do these things too. Our hearts is to inspire you to discover and embrace God's heart for the world and to equip you with tools to help you grow, to share God's love with people who don't know it. It's not about becoming a missionary. If you love Jesus, if you truly love Jesus, you are already his missionary. It's about exploring new places and ways to serve the mission you're already a part of. If you want to know more, visit our website, www.om.org, or you can contact me, Anusha Mudli, on 067-935-0956. That's 067-935-0956. Thank you so much for listening in to Hope for the Nations. Have a blessed week. God bless you.
May we be a shining light to the nations, a shining light to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world sees the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us.